I wonder if you ever asked for something, you've got it, and then you've been really disappointed that you asked for it, and you thought, oh no, why did I ever ask for that? You know, last year, me and my daughter went up to Manchester running late, and she was desperate for a sandwich or something to eat. So we went into Boots in the Trafford Centre, and there was a big selection of sandwiches, but that were really kid-friendly. And eventually she saw this ham sandwich, and I read it, and I think it was mustard on the ham sandwich. And she goes, Dad, I really want it. But I'm like, there's mustard on there. She goes, Dad, no, but I really want it. And I was like, there's mustard on there. She goes, Dad, I really want it. And I was like, it's got mustard on there. And this argument went on for a couple of minutes. And eventually I was like, well, you know what? You want the sandwich, you can have the sandwich. So I went, we bought the sandwich, we got in the car, we ran the motorway, and she takes a bite from it. And then she tells me, Dad, I'm not hungry anymore. I was like, it's because it's got mustard on, isn't it? She goes, no, I'm just not hungry. Turns out she was really, really hungry, but that sandwich had mustard on. She didn't like mustard, and she was now regretting asking for that sandwich with mustard on. But me as a dad, I kind of knew she wasn't going to like that sandwich. I didn't really want to give it to her, but because she kept insisting on having it, eventually I allowed her to have it. And a couple of weeks ago, I was praying and just spending time in God's presence. And as I was praying, I don't often have this where God's impressed as a really strong word to share with the church. But this was a time where I felt specific words came to me. And these are the words I felt God say to me. Be careful what you pray for. God may give you what you ask for, but not necessarily what he wants for you. I'm going to say that again. Be careful what you pray for. God may give you what you ask for, but not necessarily what he wants to give you. And this is really interesting because before you shoot me, and before you think I'm theologically inaccurate, hear me out, okay? But as I say for anything, when someone says a word they feel God is saying it, the Bible says test it. Don't just say, because the pastor said it, I believe it. Test what I'm saying. But those words, they really went round my head, and I sort of struggled with them for a while. And as I was sort of processing those words, I was immediately taken to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now the situation in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I encourage you to read it later by yourself, is this. Israel had been led by judges for quite a while. So what happened was a judge was someone that God raised up to get them out of trouble. So they didn't really have like a major leader. They had tribal leaders, but it wasn't any like overall leader of the country. But these judges led them out of problems. But the problem was for Israel is they kept going through the cycle of sort of rebelling against God, enemies coming in and attacking them, God raising up a judge, and the cycle just went over and over again. Now all the surrounding countries had kings, but not Israel. So Samuel, who was a prophet and a judge as well, he was coming to the end of his life, getting a bit older. And the elders from the tribes came up to him and said, Samuel, we want a king. We want someone who can lead us, who can unite us as a country, who can expand the kingdom. Now Samuel wasn't interested in having a king. He thought it should be God leading the country, not a man leading the country. So he goes and speaks to God. And God says this, you know what? A king wouldn't be great. He said, tell the people what a king will take your money. A king will demand your men for becoming soldiers, and it won't work out well. And eventually it will cause you a lot of problems. But Samuel takes this to the elders, and the elders turn around and say, no, but we really want a king. And they said, look around us. We want a king who can give us strategy, give us vision, give us everything that we want. And Samuel's just like, but that's not the right thing. So he goes back to talk to God. And this is what God says to Samuel at the end of 1 Samuel 8. This is verses 21 and 22. When Samuel heard all the people said, he repeated it before the Lord. The Lord answered him, listen to them and give them a king. And Samuel said to Israelites, everyone go back to your own town. I love what God says. He says to them, this is the reason why you shouldn't have a king. He outlines the reasons. He said, this is not my perfect plan. But if you want a king, you can have it. And it really stuns me because surely if God didn't want a king, he wouldn't have given a king. But God knew this was going to happen because if those of you who are eagle-eyed and know your Bible, he prophesied that the Messiah would come from the kingly line in Deuteronomy before this. But I think it's interesting here that God gave the people what they wanted, even though it's not necessarily what he wanted. Now, as we read on and we go further down here and read on throughout the book of Samuel and the book of Kings, we can see how badly things went. King Saul lost the plot. Then afterwards, eventually with King David, God raised up King David and you have Solomon. But then after Solomon, you have the whole issue with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. and the kingdom splits and there's fighting and the kings overwork the people and they tax them and they treat them really brutally and the cycle gets really, really bad. And I wonder if the Israelites ever regretted asking God for a king. Because later on, everything that God said would happen actually happened. And you know what, it's very interesting for us at the moment is we can be a little bit like Israel, demanding something from God, kept saying we really want this, even though we know it's not right. We can be a little bit like my daughter with that sandwich with mustard on it, insisting on having the sandwich, even though the sandwich wouldn't be good for her. And I knew it wouldn't be good for her as a father who loves and cares for her, but eventually I gave it to her. We can be like that. And guys, if anyone speaks to me, you'll know at the moment, if anyone says to me, Jim, we want everything to go back to normal. And I'm saying, well, kind of, it's not going to go back to normal, but be careful what you hope for. Be careful what you wish for. Because you know what, normal wasn't great before COVID. And after COVID, we're going to find our new normal, and it still won't be great either. There'll be problems. But personally, I don't want to go back to normal. My prayer is not that we go back to how things were before, because how things were before, there was a lot of injustice. There was a lot of problems in our world. And actually, we could start addressing them. We could start going forward. And rather than just pray the prayer of go back to normal, what if we did pray that prayer and nothing changed? That wouldn't be great. But what if we pray that God uses this time to do amazing things, to do different things? Wouldn't that be incredible? Be careful what we ask for, because God might just give us what we ask for, even if it's not necessarily what he wants. And if we're going to seize new beginnings and new opportunities, which we feel is a word from God for us as a church this year, then guys, we've got to stop praying that we go back to normal. We've got to stop praying silly prayers. And we need to start tuning into God and what God wants us to pray for so that we don't make the same mistakes that Israel made. Now, when doing this, I've sort of been mulling over and thinking about this. And there's three questions I think can be really helpful for us to ask when we're trying to decipher what we need to pray for and what we don't need to pray for. Because if this is a word from God and we need to be careful what we pray for because he might give us what you want, we need to be really cautious. We actually need to make sure that we're praying the right prayers because we don't want to get what we don't need or cause ourselves more grief or actually get less than actually God has for us. So this is the first step here. First three questions. First question is this. I ask myself when praying for something now. Am I walking in step with God? You know, soon after I felt this word, I said, God, just give me something to confirm. And Mohammed Reza from our church put this verse on Facebook and it said this. Proverbs 16 verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. You know, and I want to be walking so close with God that actually God's just establishing my steps, that God is directing me, that I'm moving with God. And the only way I can do that is if I'm walking in step with God. If I'm actually praying with him, speaking with him, if I'm reading his word, if I'm engaging with other Christians as well, and as part of the body of Christ, I need to be walking in step with God to know the right things to pray for. And often we can be so fixed with where we're going that we don't actually notice where God's directing us. You know, I've noticed with my dog, she's not very clever at times. And she can get so fixated by sometimes looking at another dog over the road. There's been several occasions when she's walked into a tree or walked into a lamppost and she looks, she yelps and she looks at me as if, what happened? Why did you let me walk into that tree? And the truth, I tried to direct her around the tree, but she still walked into it because she wasn't looking where she's going. She wasn't following me. Instead, she took her eyes off me and she was looking at someone else. Guys, we need to make sure that we're in step with God, constantly looking to God. It's the first thing to do. The second question to ask yourself is this. What are the consequences for what I am asking? What are the consequences for what I'm asking? Now, if you're praying that God gives you a job promotion, maybe you're desperate. Everyone around you has got promotion. You think it's my turn. I need that promotion. It's not fair. And you pray for that promotion and you keep praying for that promotion. Now, maybe because you want to provide your family or because you feel that you're the right person for the job. But there could be consequences. You know, the consequences of your promotion, it could be that you spend less time with your family. The consequences of your promotion is you have to deal with people you don't have to deal with now, and you haven't actually got the strength to deal with them. You know, your job promotion may seem great in theory, but you need to ask yourself, what are the consequences going to be further down? Maybe God isn't giving you to it straight away because you're not ready for it. But if you keep pushing, he may give it to you, but you then may suffer the consequences. You know, it's easy to pray prayers that haven't been thought out. You know, when the Israelites were warned by God what would happen if they had a king appointed, they still kept pushing. They still kept saying, God, but we know this, but God, we know this, but we still want it, but we still want it. And guys, they didn't really think through the consequences, even when God laid them out. So when you pray something, look at the consequences. Ask God to show you what the consequences are. God told the Israelites what the consequences are. I believe God will show you what the consequences are for your prayers. And you may be ready for that challenge, but you might not be ready for that challenge. Be careful what you pray for, because God might give you what you ask for, even if it's not necessarily what he wants for your life. The next thing is this. Question, really important question, number three. Is it God or myself that wants this? Is it God or myself? You know, over the years, I've learned this, that God's not a dictator. I know people say, if God wants it to happen, it's going to happen. But God didn't want Adam and Eve to eat the fruit, beginning of creation. God didn't want David to kill Bathsheba's husband. Okay, that logic doesn't fit in with the Bible. That's just fatalism and sort of pulling yourself back from the consequences of your actions. Because we need to make sure that actually what we're asking for and what God wants are the same thing. And actually, is it me asking for this or is it God asking for this? Wanting me to pray for something. You know, going back to the story of a job, you know, God could want you to have a new job and a promotion because you can influence and make a difference where you are and make changes for the better. That's a great reason to want promotion. You could want the promotion for that reason. But at the same time, you could want that promotion because your mate got a promotion. You're jealous of your mate and you want the promotion so you can have the flash car, so you can say to everyone, look at me, I've got a promotion. That probably wouldn't be what God wants for you. Because I know the people of Israel, if you read into 1 Samuel 8, they wanted a king. And they actually say, the reason we want a king is because everyone else has a king. They didn't want a king because it's what God wanted for them or what God was prompting them to ask for. They wanted a king out of jealousy. Now, sometimes we pray for stuff out of jealousy. It's not necessarily the right thing, but we're praying it because we look at what everyone else has. That's the wrong reason. And there's so many other reasons that are wrong for us wanting stuff that aren't aligned with God. So we need to make sure, we need to be honest with ourselves, maybe have a good friend who we can talk to. Am I asking for something because it's what I want? Or am I asking it because it's what God wants? So those are three questions I find useful to ask when I pray for things. Am I walking in step with God? What are the consequences for what I'm asking for? Is it God or myself that wants the thing that I'm asking for? Really important questions to ask. And I know some of you are probably listening and going, I think it's a bit strange what I've shared today, and going, I'm not sure. Think about it, reflect on it. But I really do believe this is a word from God for us. Be careful what you ask for, because God may give you what you ask for, even if it's not necessarily what he wants for you. You know, and I keep banging this drum in our church, and because the word that I felt from God last March, which seems to be coming to fruition, that God is doing something new. That God has completely taken us out of our comfort zone. He's doing something fresh and new. He's putting new opportunities in front of us, new beginnings. And guys, to reach into those new beginnings and those new opportunities, we have to pray in line with what God wants, not what we want. Because our vision is limited. Our understanding of what's going to happen is limited. But God is infinite. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. He's all-knowing. And guys, he knows the future. So I don't know about you, but I want to put my hands firmly in God's hands, firmly trust him, and not look to myself and trust myself. Because I believe, I have a little suspicion, that as we pray into the things that God wants, we will see greater things happen and our church, our community, our family life, our work life, our personal life than we could ever imagine. Be careful what you pray for, because God might just give you what you ask for, even if it's not necessarily what he wants for you. Amen. I'm praying for you. Encourage you, if you're free, to come join us with our congregation this evening. 5:30, come and connect in with us. Message us for the information of how to link in on Zoom. But have a great Sunday. We're praying for you. God bless you.